T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back here on the Alex Dono Show, 560 WQM. I'm a little bit disappointed right now. Apparently, this is going to get fixed before the segment is over, but I went out of my way to promote the excellent work that Tito Banach has done on a new Brock Osweiler song, and I wanted to play it here for Safid Dean from the South Florida Sun Sentinel, who's on the hotline right now. And then Tito tells me, hold on, I can't find the song that I made. You got to give me like 10 minutes and we'll have it for the end of the segment. I don't know. Safid, I feel like he might be afraid because you were such a tough critic a couple of weeks ago. I think he might be nervous that you're going to rip his song to shreds. What do you think?
Wow, Tito, I can't believe you, man. This is just another segment we could have here. This is our second one here. The first one was so great. I actually did like the Ryan Tannehill song. I was ready to put a freestyle on it. I told you we were going to make some tapes and sell it in Hard Rock Stadium. And now you can't even come up ready for this, dog.
Did you just say Hard Brock Stadium? Did you sneak that in there?
You heard what I said.
Yes.
Man. You heard what I said.
Brocktober. And I love the fact, Safid, that that Brock Osweiler actually likes Brocktober. I think this is exciting now that it has his seal of approval.
Yeah, definitely. You know, like most NFL players like to say, they don't have social media or pay attention to it, but the word of Brocktober definitely got back to Brock Osweiler, whether it was teammates or family members, and he hasn't heard many of the other puns, you know, like the Hard Rock Stadium, or I don't even want to say anymore, man. They kind of get corny after a while, but he's a big fan of Brocktober. He said he, you know, his favorite one is right now it's Brocktober, and that's all he's ready for right now. He's ready to get going on Sunday against the Lions.
And against the Lions, he's going to have the full week of, you know, it wasn't officially announced till yesterday, but I'm sure he's had the sense throughout the week that he's going to be the guy this Sunday. He's been taking first-team reps all week. Is that something he's absolutely going to benefit from, or does Detroit kind of have an advantage that Chicago didn't? Because Chicago wasn't necessarily expecting to face Brock Osweiler, where the Lions have been expecting to face him.
I think more so than, you know, being expected to defend him. I mean, you look at Matt Patricia, the new Lions coach who coached the Patriots the defense for many, many years. He went up against Brock Osweiler several times. He's 1-2 against Osweiler, so Osweiler has a disadvantage there. But I think the biggest thing that probably helps Brock Osweiler here in his stint with Miami is his previous relationship with Adam Gase. Adam Gase had a hand in drafting Osweiler when they were in Denver together in 2012. And, you know, Brock didn't play much during those days. Peyton Manning was on the last couple years of his career. Peyton Manning was playing so much that, like, he didn't never wanted to come out of the game. There was a game instance I think you probably know, or our fans always know, that it's a popular gif of Brock Osweiler going to run for his helmet, then seeing Peyton run back onto the field. And Brock is just kind of in disgust because the Broncos, were up 5 touchdowns at that point. Had a 30-point lead, and still Osweiler couldn't get into the game. Osweiler was so happy to play a game with Gase calling plays for him. He even said that he even knew what kind of plays Gase wanted to call at certain points of the game. And I think their continuity together is probably going to be the biggest asset while the Dolphins have to play without Ryan Tannehill for an extended period of time.
Yeah, you mentioned Matt Patricia, and you know Adam Gase knows him very well, and he talked this week about how it's this like chess match between these two guys where they're almost trying to predict, well, what does the other guy think I'm going to run here? Where it's like they're always thinking 2-3 moves ahead in that regard. How do you feel that things may play out from that standpoint? And overall, do you think this is another victory for the Dolphins at home, or could they really run into some trouble against Detroit?
I think Adam Gase's familiarity with what Patricia runs, especially, you know, with their matchups against the Broncos and Patriots and the Dolphins Patriots over the years, that definitely helps the Dolphins' favor. I think one thing that Patricia might not be ready for, or his defense might not be ready for, is, you know, the how they're using Albert Wilson in springs,
yeah,
and he's breaking free for long runs. The trick plays with Jakeem Grant, which I expect one of those to go off for a touchdown on Sunday. I think that's a big factor. I think, Frank Gore's run really well for them. He's, continued to play fewer snaps than Drake, but he's the feature back, and he's making the most of his opportunities. And I think Barg does pull it out, man. I think the Dolphins pulled this game out on Sunday. I've gone out to say, the Dolphins are going to win this 28-17. Teams just break down in the second half against the Dolphins at Hard Rock Stadium. I think it's going to happen again. And I think, for the Dolphins, if you look at it, without Ryan Tannehill the first two games, with Osweiler a starter, and they win two games, they go to 5-2. I don't think you can take anything away from the Dolphins at that point. That's a really, really great accomplishment by them if that happens.
I didn't speak to you before the season started. What was your prediction preseason as to how things would go for Miami this year? And has the 4-2 start changed your opinion on that one way or the other?
I think it was, kind of the 8-8, maybe 9-win kind of realm. And I think the 3-0 start definitely opened the eye a little bit. The 4-2 start has me kind of feeling kind of on the same boat. I mean, when things go wrong for this Dolphins team, they go really wrong. They lost to the Patriots. It was a blowout loss. You lose to the Bengals, and you had a 17-point lead, and Ryan Tannehill had two turnovers in that game. This Bears game, the Dolphins have the joy of winning, but they almost really lost this game. Kenyon Drake fumbled that football. The Bills could have scored on a field goal, but they luckily didn't. If the Dolphins would have lost that game after coming all the way back, I think they were down 21-10 in the third quarter. They came back to tie it up at 28. If the Dolphins didn't come back and lose that game, it would have been three straight losses. It would have been a loss that could have probably altered the locker room a little bit too, especially if Drake fumbled in that sense, and that was the end of that game. Dolphins, they got away with a lucky one, and sometimes you're going to need a lucky one here and there to really boost your record later on in the season. I'm interested to see how the Dolphins do play this out the rest of the year, especially with Tannehill being out. I think they can beat the Lions. I think they can beat the Texans, although I don't like road teams on Thursday night games. But however long Tannehill is out, he'll need to have the rest. Adam Gase said that surgery is not an option. Rest is the best option for him. And in the meantime, you have a pretty good option in Osweiler, who knows Gase for so many years, and they have some continuity they hope to build on.
We are talking with Safid Dean, covers the Miami Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. The Dolphins are being investigated by how they reported the Ryan Tannehill injury last week. What exactly is the NFL looking at there? And do you think that there's some concern about the way Miami may come out of this, maybe a fine, even a loss of draft picks, or do you think they'd ultimately get cleared?
I don't think it's so much more of an investigation, more so than it's a routine thing the NFL does, particularly when reporting injuries for players like starting quarterbacks, like Ryan Tannehill. Essentially what happened last week was Ryan Tannehill was a full participant in practice on Wednesday and Thursday. Then he became a limited participant in practice on Friday, where Adam Gase later said that, maybe the shoulder started to worsen on Thursday, and maybe the NFL is going to look in to see if the Dolphins should have listed Tannehill as a limited participant on Thursday. More so than that, Tannehill finished last week questionable to play, when maybe before the game everybody started to report that he was doubtful to play. So those are little, details, that kind of maybe swing or make people upset because you feel like other teams may have a competitive advantage or you're trying to get a competitive advantage out of that. I think it's routine, for the NFL to check into things like that. I don't know what could happen, whether it's a fine or a draft pick. I don't think it might have been that drastic of a thing the Dolphins have done. But the Dolphins went out of their way to rule Tannehill out already this week. I think that goes to show how bad the shoulder got over the course of last week and how much he really does need to rest, moving forward the rest of the season.
So while we have Safid Dean here on the line, let me ask Tito. I know you were back there. You left the room to do something. Do we have the song?
We're good to go. We're
good to go. All right.
Oh,
so
man.
I'm going to let Safid be the judge here because, listen, he covers this team on a day-in, day-out basis. If there's anyone qualified to judge a Brock Osweiler song, it is Safid Dean. So, Safid, you probably remember the way that the Tannehill song sounded a couple weeks ago. Tito has – he's going to – I've not even heard this yet – a new, unique Brock Osweiler song. No, I think this is the Tannehill song. Did you play the wrong song? Hold on. He's shaking his head. He says, no, it's different. Is this really different?
Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler.
It's kind of catchy.
Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler.
Wow, the epitome of laziness. And yet it's still really good. Like, I give you a thumbs up. What do you say, Safid?
You know, Tito might not be known well for his hot food takes. But, man, that guy can put out a banger, bro. Let me tell you.
Banger!
Banger. Oh, man. Safid Dean does an excellent job covering the Miami Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Follow him on Twitter at @Safid_Dean. That's D-E-E-N. Thank you so much, man.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
And check out his work at sunsentinel.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.